welcome to Exiled Eagles. Much like the Crystal Palace squad, we're going nowhere fast at the moment as we're here in lockdown. So, joining me today, the likely lads, we have Mark Werner in Brisbane. How are you, Mark?
Good evening, Rob. I'm well. How are you?
Delighted to see you learn how to work Zoom, to be honest with you, mate. So, exactly. We've actually been, for people who don't know, we've been waiting for 2 hours for Mark to actually just work the link there. So it's nice to have him. Ned, down in, was it cold Melbourne today, wasn't it? Was it pretty cold down there?
Yeah, it was a bit chilly. It's supposed to be even colder tomorrow, so that's all right. Only have to go out, come back home again and rug up, so nothing too exciting.
And Dale, Dale Courty in New South Wales with the new baby. How is everything with you, mate?
He's crying as we speak.
Is on the horizon.
Yeah, right. No, I'm good. I'm good. Glad to have everyone together. Let's talk some Palace, because it feels like nothing is happening sports-wise.
It feels like nothing is happening sports-wise, Dale, because absolutely nothing is happening sports-wise. So you're now on the head there.
Nearly nothing. You're forgetting the Belarusian Premier League, mate.
Obviously, and everyone supports Slut.
Everyone is around there.
That's it.
And
apart from Mark,
there was the women's grade 2020 final in Vanuatu at the weekend.
We are scraping the bottom of the
barrel. It was live streamed. It was live streamed with over 400,000 views.
I'm going to relate, right, because I'm so desperate for some type of sport. I actually watched the NFL draft. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea who these players were. But I was like, it's the NFL draft. It's something to do with sport. I watched this. And then, and I was like, I actually pretended to be actually, like, involved in it. And I was like, oh, I can't believe they signed him. I'm like, who the fuck is
that? I'm not going to lie. Sunday night, I watched the full triple header from Belarus.
Oh really?
Oh god!
9 o'clock kickoff, 11 o'clock kickoff, 1 a.m. kickoff. Smashed all three in a row.
Oh god!
That was Minsk in any of those, Ned?
No.
Are there fans in the stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah-ish. I don't think there's that many. Generally, there was. I know the East Bloc fans usually bring an accordion in, so that's always a highlight. But yeah, the stadium's got a nice little basketball court set up behind the goal at one end. So,
Jesus. So if fans get bored, they can just nip down and have a game and get a horse around the key.
Wow.
All right, guys. Well, look, what we're going to do today, we're a little bit of lockdown check, because you might as well do it. Every other podcast is doing it, so we're no different. So give us 5 stars and all that bollocks. Well, hey. We're also going to give, I know it's been done, but our 1 to 11 of Palace players that have played in the Premier League for Palace. Now, Ned has very kindly put a squad together, so we will be picking from that squad. I'm not reading out every name because I just can't be bothered. Someone has someone from outside this squad, then they're going to have to be able to give us a very valid reason as to why they're picking that player. So it should be a bit of interest, a bit of Palace interest for everyone that's going to be listening. And then I believe we have a quiz. Ned has put together a Palace quiz for us to do as well. So a bit of excitement for everyone whenever you're listening to this. And I suggest that you're probably listening to 1,000 podcasts. So save this one up, because it's going to be a belter. All right. So look, we've kind of spoken lockdown a bit there. Good news. If people are listening outside Australia, it's pretty good over here, to be honest with you. They're getting numbers. The curve is flattening, as they say. And we are allowed to have 2 people in our house now, 2 adults from Friday, which is good news. Very good news for my wife's parents, who have been chomping at the bit to see the kids. And we've been chomping at the bit to let them have the kids. So, that's a win-win for us there. But, how are you guys feeling about kind of how it's going over here compared to other countries in the world? We're flying, but, how are you guys feeling about it all? Awesome. Brilliant. Really excited.
Silence is deafening. I'll start then. But we'll go north to south. It's funny. I think for me, I'm starting to notice the things, little things that you wouldn't have thought you'd miss. Like, I'm not that much of a pub goer, apart from watching football, but even just nipping in for a a cheeky pint at lunch or a snitty or catch up with a mate and have a quick jar. Really missing that. And just the social buzz of being out and about. You still go down the shops and there's people about, you know, 4 out of 5 shops are shut. Everyone's, yeah, it's got that aura about it of social distancing, which we all should be doing. But yeah, just miss that hum of society going about its business, which we're completely void of. But as you say, Rob, we're flying here numbers wise, which is great. And in real good news, the NRL, the rugby league. League comp here is scheduled to start in under a month. Mate. So I'm champing at the bit for that kickoff, mate.
Why? Why to bring up that, second, mate? Those people. I was saying to Rob earlier, this is, I'm very sorry, Palace fans, you don't care about this. Peter Philandes has turned around and said that Warriors have an exemption to travel. The Prime Minister said today they do not. Philandes hasn't got a clue what's going on. Half his players, the NRL, are telling us all to download an app to stay safe. Your players are out bush doing who God knows what with rifles and tin cans. Come on,
yeah. Now.
Now, that's all right, mate. They're just upholding their duty for stepping outside the boundaries what's socially acceptable in good times and bad, mate. So, yeah. I mean, in this lockdown time, they had to do something. So they got the bike, went out for a shoot, put it on TikTok, and right. 40 grand later. Anyway, like Rob said, just a little bit of sport. So even the news that our National Rugby League comp might be starting in a month is exciting.
Mate, I mean, speaking about that, I couldn't care less about NRL, but I am so excited it might be starting. I don't even watch it. I don't like it. I think it's crap. I just think it's a big unit running into a big unit as fast as they can. But I am praying that this thing starts. Just to watch. Even my wife's like, I'll watch it.
Yours said that, did you? Did she? Mine just said, no chance.
And she's like, I'll watch it. Because I think she'll watch it because, I mean, I'll stop talking about sport. Like, you know, I'm making my son go play cricket in the back garden as my fix at the moment. Like, go in the back. Yes. He's good. He's all right. He's got hand eye. All right, how's it going with you, Dale? Apart from new baby and all.
Mate, it's good. It's good. We I'm obviously like everyone, a lot of people working from home, looking after little un, just taking it easy. Yeah, look. I am hanging out for sport. I don't know if it will be rugby league. I hope it is because we need something, but they shoot themselves in the foot. Obviously, the bad news of Palace cancelling and West Ham cancelling coming over. We knew it was going to happen. Postponing, so hopefully they come next year. And I suppose, other than that, the biggest sport news I have, which will keep Mr. Werner excited, is that the Sixers have re-signed Elise Perry. Which means that hopefully I'll finally get you some merchandise.
Mark, awesome, do you want to tell everyone what you wanted Dale to get?
No, because
what rating is this podcast again?
Yeah, and we don't know who might listen to it. I.e., you know, I am friends on social media with the GM of the Sixers, and we don't need.
Mate, if the GM of the Sixers listens to this, please tell him.
In all seriousness, wouldn't dare sully her good name or the cricketing franchise that you work for, Dale. Any form of merch or a photo or a bloody cameo shout out, mate, would be well received. I love it.
Leave it with me.
Good man.
What about you, mate? Down in southern Victoria, how are you, Ned? How's it all going with you?
Oh yeah, not too bad. I mean, I'm still at work, which is thoroughly exciting and riveting. But I think it's just sort of, I think it was only sort of the most recent weekend, sort of sitting there for about, you know, the fifth weekend in a row inside doing absolutely nothing. And he's just going, I just quite like to do something. I don't really care what it is. Just something that involves other people being around. Like, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's go to a pub or kick a ball or just do something where other people are around. And you sort of sit there and just, it's like there's only so much, you know, Netflix you can watch or, you know, just general shit that you can fill your time with. And you're sort of sitting there, I think this is, you know, the first proper weekend I was sort of sitting there going, yeah, I'm really bored now. Like, really, really bored. Like, I want to go and do anything. Like, I don't even care what it is. Like, it could be something that people, like, generally I would go, no, not interested. Like, if someone had made a suggestion of something to go out somewhere with some people to do anything, like, it wouldn't have mattered what it was, I would have been keen as much.
Have a child, just, mate. That will alleviate the boredom.
mate, well,
I can't even do that, though. Bloody isolation, man.
But Dale, you say that I'm like trying to have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old that they want to do something. You've got to get them out of the house. I 100% agree with you now. I think what you just said there, that's exactly kind of where I'm at now. Like, it's very much a case of we just have to do something.
Well, I think the only thing that sort of came out today was a little bit positive was they were sort of talking about the community competitions in football potentially starting up in sort of July, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we got that about rugby for July as well, yeah.
I will tell you through what I know through work, conversations are happening, but here we are, we're not as close as some people are making it out to be.
I'm fully aware. I'm just hopeful that there is actually some sort of season. I mean, you know, in terms
there
of...
There will be, Ned.
The team that I coach, and I'm sitting there, set up my Sabuthio board at home. I'm sitting there preparing little coaching videos to send out to my team.
God, they must hate you.
Why not? I haven't sent them out yet. No. Well, they're bored as well. I'm not going to send... It's not going to be hours long.
I reckon that triple header of the Belarusian League, that whole triple header, you were literally doing things on that, and you've got a 5-hour tactical masterclass based on FC Slutton Dynamo Minsk and all this crap. Okay, that's what you've been doing.
I wouldn't be basing anything tactical on the Belarusian Premier League, mate. That stuff is shite. You reckon the A-League's bad, Rob?
Like, well, that is bad. Oh, Christ.
Most Mariners at their worst, and that they'd be, you know, they'd be table tennis, mate.
All right, I'll put it this. Would the sauce bottles at the end of the stadium get into the team in Belarus?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the yellow one actually got on at some point last season for the Central Coast Mariners. Put him up front.
Slide tackled a bloke in John Hutchinson's testimonial game. That's a great bit of footage on YouTube. Look up giant sauce bottle slide tackles player.
the only thing that'll stop a giant sauce bottle coming in hot on goal is a bloke on crutches.
Oh, God.
That's it. That immense.
This podcast has officially descended into a farce.
Yeah, immense. That, I mean, 5 minutes was in that goal. Man. It was in there. 5 minutes. Just a
peak A-League.
Get off the pitch. Get off the pitch. No. Get out of your prick. No, back off.
No, peak A-League was when they broke the goal in Melbourne, Dale, and they had to have the Melbourne Victory assistant coach went and lifted up Costa Barbarousas to take the goal back together.
Seriously, you're not selling it to people.
I'm not, you don't need to. It's crap.
Let's be honest, Dale. At the end of this, there's no selling required. It's on. I mean, there's your sales. It's on.
Yeah, there you go.
People will flock.
That's what we call it.
People get confused and think the A and A leagues for Australia is actually for amateur.
Amateur. Appalling.
All right. Right, let's move on. Let's move on. There's a deep, deep rabbit hole that we can jump down right there. We're kind of circling around the outside, and I'm going to make it pop out. So we're all right. So, Palace team, best team of the Prem, well, been playing the Premier League. So we have, for goalkeepers, we have a choice of four. We have Wayne Hennessy, we have Vicente Guaita, we have Julian Speroni, we have Nigel Martin, and I'm going to throw in Gabor Kirai.
Yes, thank you. I wondered, why was he not on the list? I thought this.
He wasn't on the list, and I'm going to throw in Gabor
Kirai. I mean, as a goalkeeper, former goalkeeper, I'm going to just start off and I'm going to say I wouldn't have Gabor Kirai in the best 11, but he's worth a mention because the guy was comedy value of his track pants. And
he won.
And he's only just retired last year at the age of 43.
played in the last World Cup.
Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I don't think he was that bad, to be honest.
No, he wasn't that bad. He wasn't bad. He was just comedy value. That's right. And do you know what it's like? If you turn up on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon playing in park football and the goalkeeper's got track pants on, you think to yourself, lads, we're in here.
Better than the Premier League.
So yeah, I was surprised he didn't make the list, but I get it, we can't have everyone.
Would have been mostly just because I was very quickly scrolling through all of our Premier League squads since 1992-93, and he just didn't pop up on that because Speroni was number one, and I didn't probably scroll down far enough.
Fair enough. Well, he's actually had 105 appearances, so decent. And I appreciate but some of those would have been in the Championship.
Championship. Most of them were.
Yeah. I think the year we were in the Premier League, Speroni started the first.
Started.
Portsmouth. He started and then made that hour and that was it.
Yeah.
It took him a while. So, you know, you started us. So, who would you go for out of those five?
Me?
Hmm.
Look, if you're going on best goalkeeper, technically, it's current custodian. If you're going on the person who's... Oh, look, Speroni.
So you're going Jules?
Oh, this is tough for me. What are we doing? Like best player, as in the best player? Or...
Mate, just say what you want. Say what you want.
Who's your guy?
Vicente.
Okay. You're going for Vicente.
Yep.
Mark, what do you reckon, Mark? I've gone to him as he freezes perfect. Ned, what do you reckon, Ned?
It's all right, Mark will be back in about 3 hours.
Thanks for being Mark. Yeah. Your input at the start was fantastic.
For me, I think it's tough. It's one of those ones where you sort of sit there and you go, obviously it's Wayne Hennessy, but nah. So when I first started supporting Palace, my favourite player was Nigel Martin, '95-ish. 95, 96, that sort of time. I think you sort of look at it and you go, where he went to, the sort of, you know, the places he got to in his career. Yeah. You'd be looking at that. I'm obviously biased because, you know, you're talking about your first ever favourite footballer. But I think at the same time, I would be happy for it to be Jules. I think he possibly did a lot of his best work in the Championship for us. Don't get me wrong, very good in the Premier League when we got up the second time around, but a lot of that legend status that he built up at the club wasn't necessarily done in the Premier League. If we're looking at our best goalkeeper in the Premier League, it's tough because then you've got to sort of sit there and look at, I mean, yeah, you've got the recency bias of Guaita. The other thing with Nigel Martins, you look at him and go, yeah, he played in the Premier League a few times for us and managed to get us relegated every time. So from a defensive perspective, that's not a great thing. I'm going to just purely out of the heart go, it's between Jules and Nigel Martin. I'm going to go Nigel Martin to start with.
Mate, I've got to say,
Nigel Martin.
I had a Nigel Martin shirt, just let you know.
But he's not your team.
my first ever Palace shirt was a Nigel Martin TDK.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sure. That's
what you were literally the two people that bought you that shit.
Yeah.
Like when the new kit comes out, everyone's like, oh, get me number 9. Mate. 9 Armstrong on the back. And then there's you two idiots walking around with one Martin. Or not even a Martin, there's no names on the back of the shirt. So there's you two.
No, I had Martin on the back of mine, and he was the first £1 million goalkeeper. Let's not forget
he was.
It's very good.
It was. You're back with us, Mark. So look,
yeah.
Caveat, don't worry, Mark. We know you kind of found Palace when you went over to the UK, so that's fine. So you kind of later on, so you won't remember Nige. But so you'll probably
Yeah, gets many a chat and mensch in all these podcasts that are picking their 11s and I saw him the other night going around for he was in goal for the Liverpool semi final. Yeah,
he was.
Watching Gary and there. School-wise, Yeah, for me, bearing in mind, you know, players from back in the day, probably not as quick or as fit as today. So I'm going to go Vinny for skills, but my guy would be Corrali. Those great tracky dacks, man.
Yeah, okay.
He was in the sticks when I started supporting Palace, and was my first Palace poster or player I had up on my wall was that very guy. I think I got it from a little lift out from the first program, from the first match that I went to, or something silly like that. So, good ball for me.
So, hold on. So, just a brief recap of everything that's going on here. We found out that Ned and Dale actually purchased the goalkeeper shirt, which no one ever does.
I was a goalkeeper for crying out loud. They played in goal.
It doesn't matter. Bought the goalkeeper. I'm not hearing any arguments.
I was playing in goal.
Then, Mark, your first Palace player you put on your wall was Gav Okirai.
Yep. And can I say only player?
Oh, thank God for that. Apart
from my Palace calendar that I had last year up on the wall, he's the only player I've ever put up on a wall, mate. I was like 27. I was just living in a room that the pub gave me. So I was like, how do I decorate this fucker? All right, good boy, you're going up.
All right, so me, yeah, it's a tough one, but I'm gonna. The way I see it is who's the best footballer, who's the best player. Nigel Martin for me is the best player there. If you look at the career they had, played many times for England. Do I think Guaita? I think Guaita's very unlucky. I reckon he'd be making a huge case for the Spanish squad for Euros this year with what's going on, if you look at how he's playing this year. So for me, it'd be very close between those two, but I think it has to be Nigel Martin and the career he had. It was fantastic. And if you watch
really bad for Julian Peroni that he's not got more of a mention in that and not picked up a vote.
Jules is Jules, right? Jules is immense. Like, no one ever... If you're going legends, then there's only one person.
He's on the bench of our 11.
Yeah, no, I'll happily put him on the bench, but I'd put that. But if we're going for to start, skill wise, yeah. Nigel Martin is the best player out of those four. So I'm putting Nigel Martin in goal.
Cool.
All right. Short
and sweet.
One thing we didn't discuss, gents, formation. Mm-hmm. Are we going to do that before or after?
Well, I think we'll iron that out at the end.
Ooh, yeah, I think we sort of get to the point where we find out if people have got, once we're sort of looking, is everyone going for the back?
Yeah, for the back.
All right, so right back.
It's realistically it's going to be 4-3-3 or 4-4-2, yeah?
Yeah.
So right back, I'm going to go with, so there's Joel Ward, AWB in there. It's pretty much all the,
Nathaniel Clyne.
Edward. Did Clyne play for us in the Premier League?
Ooh,
I don't think he did. I think it was Championship.
Mark Edworthy played for us.
Yeah, we'll have those.
You're going to love this, Rob. Other than Nigel Martin, guess who my next favourite player was as a kid?
Dave Schroe.
Mark Edworthy.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's sake. Totally. Anyway, you're the person that got excited when we signed Thomas Brody.
I couldn't. My first three Palace games were 0-0, and I managed to get hooked. So,
you literally did get excited when you signed Thomas Brolin, didn't you?
Pretty
bad. All right, so Joe Ward, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and Mark Edworthy were going for, because obviously Clyne didn't actually play for us in the Premier League. So, okay, we can throw Martin Kelly in there. I'm happy to throw Martin Kelly in there as a right back.
Okay. And let's throw him straight out again.
There we go. That's exactly what I was going to say. So, Mike Kelly.
Paul Ward and Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
It's like that gif. You know that gif when, from The Simpsons when Grandpa Simpson goes into the pub, puts his hat on the thing, turns around, picks his hat up off a walker. That was Mike Kelly coming into the right back slot. So, good. Well played, Ned. And thanks for that. So, pretty much, I'd say it's between AWB and Wardy, unless someone plumps for Mark Edworthy, Ned. So you can go first.
Me?
Mm.
Again, it's a tough one. It's sort of, do you go for talent and ability, or do you go for who's been the better servant for us in the Premier League? I mean, I think you got to look at, Joel Ward has been ever present. He's, I think he's got third most appearances in the Premier League of any player. He's been there the whole time. every time he sort of looks like he's about to get forced out, he manages to find a way back in. So you sort of, for the dependability and sort of reliability and the fact, you know, if you're going Carlos's all-time Premier League 11, I think you have to go Joel Ward. But having said that, I mean, if you're just literally building a team of best players, then, I mean, you're looking at someone like an Aaron Wan-Bissaka who is, you know, looking like potentially becoming the best right-back in the world. And you're sort of sitting there going, well, I'm going to take Joel Ward over that.
Well, no surprise from the Mark Edworthy Nigel Martin bloke. So, Mark, what do you reckon? We can discount Mark Edworthy for yourself. Wardy or AWB?
Apart from the obvious of Edgeworthy, yeah. Aaron, for obvious reasons, just dynamo, isn't he? Absolutely outstanding. Would I be right in thinking the other night when Optus replayed Chris Tambour, Wardy was on the left?
He
played a lot of left back.
Okay, cool. More on that later. So I'm just going to leave it at AWB, man.
Okay.
So AWB,
so I know who I want, but I'm just going to chuck another. So, Ned, who did you say?
I've got Joel Ward.
Okay. And just another name I'm going to chuck out there. He did play in the Premier League. Actually, you just checked 232 appearances for Palace. I didn't realize it was that many. Danny Butterfield.
He played in the Premier League, did he?
He played for us from 2002 to 2010, so he must have had some Premier League minutes in that. Must have. He must agree have. Done. That, I think,
yeah, he would have. Oh, he definitely would have. I think if you're going to go with Palace's best 11 Premier League.
I'm not
you
picking
can't
him.
Say that Danny Butterfield is that influence in that league.
I'm not picking him. Yeah. I'm just giving a name. And let's not forget, he's the scorer of the greatest hat-trick you'll ever see in the League Cup. No, but I am going to go with one of only two Palace players that made Patrick Van Aanholt's FIFA Ultimate Team squad. Or current or ex-Palace players, and that is Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, for me, I 100% agree with that. I'm going for AWB as well. Joel Ward, what a servant immense. If you're talking, Jules is a legend. I would put Joel Ward in the very same bracket as that with what he's done for Palace. And for what, 400 grand, I don't know if you're ever going to spend a better 400 grand again.
Yeah.
Personally, absolutely superb. So, honourable mention. But I mean, if we go by what I said about Nigel Martin as the best footballer there, then Aaron Wan-Bissaka is the best footballer there.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka, more than
yeah.
And as Ned said, he has gone from strength to strength. And you know, if he keeps going like that, we could have produced in the Palace Academy arguably the best right back in world football, which is pretty bloody impressive, if you ask me.
You should have stayed with us, then, traitor. Left back.
left back we go with. We've got Dean the Boot Gordon. We have Papa the Crash Soiree. And we have
Joel Ward.
We have PVA. Joel Ward's in it. Joel Ward and Martin Kelly have both done the Simpson gif of walking in. They've put their hat on the thing. They've picked their hat up and walked out. So thank you for saying it. But they're the three that Ned came up with. I haven't got an argument for anyone else. I mean, Dean Moxey. Notable mention for a good handball on our first game back in the Premier League. And so off he goes.
You put Dean Moxey in the same category as someone like a Johnny Parr, and you go, absolutely loved them. They would put everything on the line for Palace, but at Premier League level, just not good enough.
No, of course not.
100%. 100%. So, Mark, this one you could start us off on this one, Mark. So, do you see much of Dean Gordon on highlights, or are you more we're gonna have to deal with PVA and a big Papa Swallow for you?
No, I'm not across the boot in his wares, mate. So it's Pat for me. Not necessarily our most skillful left back. I just think, and I've said it before on this pod, I think it's absolutely Herculean that he just walked again after the crash he was in, let alone strapping on a pair of boots and playing in the Premier League. So Mate, good on him. And I like the guy. I like his hair. I like his style. But yeah, honourable mention to Wardy, because I don't have him at right back.
Like his hair. My God, we really are struggling. We like his hair. Anyway.
Yeah, cool hair, man.
He did have cool hair.
He did.
Dale, who are you going for?
Well, look, I think I've said it before. I'm not a fan of PVA. Sorry, PVA and Suarez as defenders, not great. As attacking left backs, if we played wing backs, I'd have them both. Have either of them, doesn't matter. If you want an absolute hero of a Palace player who was bloody good and got an England B cap, I believe, as well. Unfortunately, he was behind some very good left backs like Graham Lasso, and Nigel Winterburn. It can only be Dean Gordon for me. One of my newest Facebook friends as well, actually.
Congratulations.
Clang.
Cheers.
You want to just name drop a little bit more? Mr. Office over here, just dropping names. Left, right, centre. Oh, I know the Sydney Sixers GM. Ooh, I'm Facebook friends with Dean Gordon.
Oh,
daddy, daddy, da.
Of course I know the Sydney Sixers GM. I bloody work for them.
Go on, Ned. Who are you going for?
Well, as Dale said, I think the problem with the Dean Gordon is, again, falls into that category of was in our Premier League side three times and went right back down three times. So I think you have to look at it and you go, our highest scoring Premier League defender, we've all established that our left backs defensively are crap, so there's no point looking into their defensive abilities. So if you're looking at players bombing forward, we've got Aaron Wan-Bissaka on one side, so we might as well have another player bombing forward on the other side. He drives me insane, can't pass for shit, but he's the highest scoring defender in our club. So I think you have to sort of say, I think PVA is the best of a bad bunch. I would not be opposed to having Joel Ward in there just for service at left back otherwise. But if we're not going to allow that, then I'll go for PVA just for the fact that at left back, he gives us something going forward, and he hasn't been relegated yet.
Okay.
Apart from Sunderland, isn't it? You know what means relegated with Sunderland?
Oh, no, they stayed up. Just to let you know, Ned, your phone is verging on losing shit again. For me, I'm going to go with Dean the Boot Gordon, because he could defend. He could get forward. He had a Hal Witzer of a left boot.
Didn't he just?
And as Dale said, he was in a purple patch of England left backs. I mean, Stuart Pearce was still doing his thing. Graham Lasso was there or thereabouts. Nigel Winterburn. I mean, look how many caps Nigel Winterburn didn't get because Graham Lasso and Stuart Pearce were there. And to even get an England B cap at that time, I think, was pretty bloody impressive because he was playing for Palace and he went to Middlesbrough as well. So he was never at an Arsenal or a United, a Liverpool as well. So for me, Dean Gordon, because he can. I think he could do. I think he's one of the few players that if you play, he played now, would still be okay. He's still fitted quite nicely with the style of football. He could get forward and he could defend, which is a nice change from a lot of the modern left backs. All right, so we go to centre back now. I'm gonna have to pull you up here, Ned. Now, Gareth Southgate played for us as a central midfielder most of the time, so I can't include him in the centre back.
He's on Wikipedia as a centre back.
But that's his position. He went there when he left Palace. So we normally played him in the number four, just in front of the back four.
We did.
That's where he played. We did. So I will include him. He will be in the midfielders, but he's not going to be in the centre. Just for clarification there, that why when I read this out, why he's not in there. So we're going with
God, no wonder we got relegated. So you're going to read this list out. No wonder we got relegated. We had no centre backs bloody back then, did we? Jesus.
Peter Ramage, Damien Delaney, Breda Hengeland, Mama Seko, Gary Cahill, Chris Coleman, Eric the Ninja Young, James Tonkins, Martin Kelly. There. Did Andy Thorne play for us in the Premier League?
He did, yeah.
I'm gonna throw Andy Thorne in there as well.
Yeah, he did.
And Richard Shaw.
Yep.
Sure, he must have. And Richard Shaw. Andy Thorne and Richard Shaw both both in the mix as well, because they're just bloody good servants, and they were good players for Palace. Scott Dan. I didn't see out there. Apologies, Scott Dan. Of course, Scott Dan has to be there. I'm going to start this one off, so suck it up your ass. I'm going with, again, footballing abilities. I'm going with Mama Sacco, and I'm going with Eric Young. I picked Nigel Martin because he's the best player there. I picked Aaron Wan-Bissaka because he's the best player there. And I picked Dean Gordon because he's the best player there. Mama Sacco is, in my opinion.
How can you say Mama Sacco is a better footballer than Gary Cahill?
I mean, they're different footballers.
I think they're both different footballers. You are never coming back on this pod, mate. No chance, mate. It's my feelings.
I think Mamoseko is fantastic. I think he does things differently. Gary Cahill is a defender's defender. I think Mamoseko is brilliant, and I think we lose a lot when he's not there. I think he's the best defender we've got at the moment.
We're doing pretty well at the moment, winning without him. Let me tell you,
I know we are, because Gary Cahill is having his superb defender as well.
He's better.
I mean, he might not be the best player there, but I just can't not pick Eric Young. I can't. The headband. He's just the most unlikely footballer.
So Mark here, but you can pick Eric Young for his headband.
No, I mean, it's just everything about Eric Young is like this fucking headband that I reckon he bought when he was about four.
Wasn't he a
good player? Yeah. He's born in Singapore, so he could pick where he went to, who he played for. But I think he was a good player as well. Look, don't get me wrong. If I'm kind of going away from what I want to do here, like Gary Cahill is a better footballer than Eric Young, but I just can't not pick Eric Young. He's just the least footballer, person who thinks a footballer. He's just, that's Eric Young. Eric Young and Mama Sacco for me. I know Mama Sacco won't make it, but I don't care. All right, go on then, Mark. What do you reckon?
Oh, boss. For me, my central midfielders, Hangerland. Just because I love that chant that goes to the tune of Black Betty, and Sacco as well for me.
Oh,
Sacco! I think he's great. He's exciting. He's also got very cool hair.
Deviant,
and he's just—he's worth the mistake a game, I reckon.
Dale, can we make our own team?
Just see what he does next.
We'll scupper this easily. Don't worry about that.
Hold on, bollocks, right? Make your own team. You've disagreed with one of my choices. So shove that up your arse.
Yeah, it's a terrible choice.
It's not a terrible choice. I've picked someone that was a captain of PSG at 17. It's a full French international. One of the best teams that played for.
He had a good 3 months for us. That's it.
I'm not saying that they did it for Palace. AWB had one good season. If we're going by that, you'd pick Joe Ward.
We are picking the best 11. Right? This is in a Palace shirt. The players who have played the best in their positions and are going to be the best team we got. Mamadou Sakho, God bless him, came in on loan and was very, very good for 3 months. However, I will tell you this now. Gary Cahill is an absolute warrior. He is arguably, I'm picking him, first one, one of the best players, I think, to ever wear a Palace shirt. And if we're going to talk about, someone, what they did at another club, where we can take Gary Cahill's record and he can shove that right down Mamadou Sakho's throat. Because Mamadou
Sakho, I'm not denying that at all.
So Gary Cahill, number one. And my other one, I'm going to go, this is a little bit left field. So I do think he was a very good centre-back. Did a lot of good things at Palace. And again, was at a time where I think players weren't necessarily recognised because of other players in the league. Chris Coleman.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I wouldn't argue with anything you just said there about Chris Coleman. He was a very good player. Very, very good player. I feel he's another one that could have had a better career. If for example, if Palace hadn't signed him and he'd gone to someone like Liverpool, I reckon he'd be spoken about in the very high echelons.
And if we're going to talk about Pep Suarez and his very bad accident, you can't forget what happened to Chris Coleman. I can't remember if it was at Palace or
not. Oh, that leg break.
It was when he crashed his car down in Bletchingley. I actually went and had a look at the crash site like a day later. There's some friends who lived around the corner and it wasn't good. So I'm amazed that he played football again, let alone that he was walking, etc. So, yep, Gary Cahill and Chris Coleman for me.
All right, so Ned, who are you putting with Manasseko?
So who was your other?
Brother Hadeland.
Hangerland.
You have to choose. I can't even go with who I want to go with. I just have because I have to double up someone along with Gary Cahill. So that it's the other option's not Mamadou Sakho. Because the other one that I want to
Mamasako's in, mate. He's got two.
He's got two. But if I go with Gary Cahill and one of the other ones, and there's three of them on two, and we can fuck Sakho off.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I've just got to play democracy here and just. Poor old Scott.
No,
there.
You don't. That's not how the game is played. You pick your two, and if they happen not to
pick Scott Dan. That's who you're
on. Who you want?
I can't believe there's going to be a team that my name is going to be somewhat in some way attached to that is suggesting that Mamadou Sakho and his 2 months of fucking not being injured are in Palace's best 11. Ridiculous.
What a man.
Oh, immensely, Rob. I'm going to have to go with, yeah, so Scott Dan would be up there just in terms of what he did. And then he's, you know, the part of it. Plus, you know, Scott Dan at the back post, goal machine. So he would be one. Again, you're sort of coming back to that same AWB argument. As Dale said, I think Gary Cahill is probably the best centre back we've ever had. You know, are you going in a Palace shirt? What's he really achieved in a Palace shirt? You know, half a dozen good, you know, played a few good games for us in a Palace shirt. But I mean, yeah, it's tough. There's not really any other standouts for me. So we'll throw Gary Cahill, because then he'll end up in the team.
Yeah.
So Gary, you've got Gary Cahill, Scott Dan. So I'm back. So I'll send it back to Gary Cahill and Mamasako.
Let's move on to the right wing.
The thing that I don't understand about that is we currently have that potential centre back pairing at the club, and it's not our centre back pairing.
It's neither here nor there, mate. Yeah. Sometimes you win some, you lose some. That's what I'm going to say. You win some, you lose some. We're going to go with a 4 across midfield. No, we're just going to go with just like 4. We're not going to go like right wing, left wing, blah, blah, blah. We're just going to go with your 4 midfielders and we can work up stuff there.
So this is where I would go, just to briefly on formation stuff. I would be playing with 3 central midfield players and 3 forwards.
Okay, so let's just...
So 2 central midfield players, definitely. And then we can work out whether we decide between a third... midfield player or third forward player.
Okay. Can we just decide now where we put in Wilf? Because he's going to be in. So let's just save ourselves that whole chat. Let's just put him in. Where are we putting him in?
Where's he best? Where do we know he's best? He's best out wide.
Wide.
So
wide left.
Number 11. Number 11. He's number 11.
Yeah.
Easy. That solves Wilson. That one. Yeah. Done. Wilf's out.
If Wilf's playing out wide, then realistically, you're going to struggle to play.
Yeah, no, not playing. I don't think we will play 4-4-2, to be honest.
We'll play 4-3-3. It's 4-3-3. Yeah. It's done. So we need 3 centre mids.
Okay, and the choices are, and I'm going to... You've missed a glaring one, which you'll see in a second. Simon, the curtains, Roger. Mile, the Aussie Jedinek. Jason, Punchy Punchin. Joe Ledley. Johan Kabai. Ruben Loftus-Cheek. John Sulaco. Ray Horton. Attilio Lombardo, Houghton, sorry. When I say Houghton, I've got a mate called Houghton, I suppose, the exact same way, that's why. Attilio Lombardo, Aki Rihilati, James McArthur, Luke, and I've completely forgot who the person you glaringly miss now, so I look like a dickhead. Luca, Andrew Townsend, and I'm throwing Gareth Southgate in there because that's where he played for us.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to go for, so we agreed we're picking three from them.
Yeah.
You say.
Yep.
So maybe take Andros out because you're not going to put him in as a central midfielder. Maybe put Andros in sure. with the in the, with the, with the next look next lot.
Yeah.
Ah. Has to be.
Hmm?
What's that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think we put because where he's played for us most, Jeff Schluck goes straight into central midfield. It's a good point. That's where he's been played most for us, I'd say. Probably been played his best football for us, really.
Look, and I think I said his name a little bit in jest because he's not he's doing the walk in, walk out because in that other company he's not there. But the reality is he's been very good for us, hasn't he? He's been superb. We
also John Solarco's not in that one, he's in the next one as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I think we missed Jeff Thomas.
Did he play Premier League?
Did he play in the Premier League?
Must have done.
He played the very, very first one. And I don't think he played.
Okay. Well, he's got to be in there. If you're talking like legends and Jeff Thomas, he's certainly in there. And was Andy Gray still with us when we were in the Premier League?
Oh, mate, testing it now. Testing us.
Okay, well, we can. I wouldn't say Gray would make it, but if he did, then he'd definitely be in the conversation. So, Mark, you can have your...
Sorry. There were a couple we did miss out who I want to chuck in here. There was Sasa Perčić.
Oh, yeah. Did he play Premier League for us?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
A defender we missed out was Herman Hreiðarsson, who did play some Premier League.
Hreiðarsson.
We put him in for Saka.
Let's we forget.
Yeah, let's put him in for Saka. He's left-footed, so put him in. And a midfielder we've missed out is Wayne Routledge.
I know.
What a shout. But again, I'd put Wayne Routledge in the next lot because I wouldn't put him as a central midfielder at all.
Yeah, now we've changed formation.
That's a very good shout as well, though. Yeah. So the new central midfielders, Mark, you have to choose from are Simon Rodger, Mila Jedinek, Jason Punch and Joe Ledley. Johan Goodbye, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Ray Houghton, Lombardo, because he can play there. He can play, mate, he can play anywhere. Oh. Yeah. Aki Rihilati, James McArthur, Luca, Sasa Perčić, I don't know if we're going to put him way around this. Will be the next one. Okay, there we go. So, who are you going for there, Marky Mark?
My three, obviously a few names in there before my time and you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Jedi, obviously.
Yeah.
Can't leave him out. Kabai, just with his quality. And I did have J-Mac, who I think is just a very industrious workhorse. But I'm going to replace him with Lombardo.
Ooh. Oh, that's a very good decision, sir. Yeah. Very good decision.
I've seen him in many a highlight, mate. So sorry, J-Mac, I love you, man, but Lombardo's picture.
Yes, Ned, what about you, mate?
I think in my midfield, I've got the same three as Mark had. I would have suggested, I do want to have Lombardo in my team still, but I probably would have pushed him just into that front three, just to accommodate James McArthur. I think he's one of those players that, you know, he's got the most wins for Palace. He's just always there. He's quite dependable. Jedinak, what he's done for the club, incredible. Just really, really fantastic player. His leadership, just what he did to get us up into that position, captain us through sort of, you know, being able to stay in the Premier League for the first time and second time and so on. He'd probably be my captain of this side. And then obviously Johan Kabai. I mean, the class of that bloke is incredible. So I would have my three as Jedinak sitting just behind Kabai and McArthur. But definitely, definitely, definitely not leaving Lombardo out. I would just put him further up the pitch. That's all.
Dale?
Johan Kabai, 100%. I sent a text last week saying how much I miss him. Billy Jednak. I don't think he was by any means the greatest footballer, but what he brought to that to the club was something else. And I love the evolution of Mille post beard. Absolutely magnificent when he got the beard and turned into a Viking. And my other one, it's tough. I've still got his shirt. I still wear it.
I knew it'd be him.
I've met him. He's brilliant. So it's got to be Aki Rielati. What a legend. An absolute legend he was. I'll just give.
I feel like Aki ends up in that same Jules category, though, of players who did their best work outside the Prem. Like Palace legend.
But yeah. Yeah, he probably did. He did, but I love the guy. So. And I want to give some honourable shout-outs to Punch. I think prime Punching, you know, that season when he scored the free kick against Man City and he was scoring some goals. I think that was it was a World Cup year. Was that 2016 or whatever it was? And I actually said to people, I would have taken him to the World Cup as your last midfielder. The person who's never going to play, but if you needed somebody to play, they might as well be on form and ready to go. And for me in the league, that was Punch. Joe Lenley, when he came in, left the Champions League to come and play for us. He was good. He was very, very good. And James McArthur, you get 8 out of 10 from that guy every week. It's magnificent. So tough to leave him out.
All right, for me, these next two choices, this and up front, I found unbelievably difficult. Well, it's just clean sweep for Johan Gabay. First thing, let's put him in there. That's a clean sweep. I mean, the fact that he's defensively so comfortable on the ball, it doesn't matter, it demands it. Just a presence, just a calm presence in that midfield. That the world seems to go a little bit slow in Johan Gabay world.
Sure.
Fantastic, yes. Attilio Lombardo is in there for me as well because after Wilf, he's the best player I've ever seen in the Crystal Palace shirt by a country mile. When you talk about this is kind of where I have issue with what you're saying about the players went up and come straight back down. Now, there wasn't much around Attilio Lombardo. It was Attilio Lombardo was kind of here. Can't hear a word you say because your phone shit. So Attilio Lombardo was... still shit.
Different class.
There you go. Yeah. He was different gravy. So if you put Lito Lombardo in this team now, I still think he'd be one of the best players that we've got. He's absolutely fantastic. And now then it comes down to do I pick who I think the best footballer is, which was out of the other position, which I think would probably be Luka Milivojevic, to be honest with you. Or do I go with the reasons that you've gone for? And I just don't know how to do between Jedi, Jimmy Mack and Luka. It's tough as balls for this one. Jedi, for everything he brought to the club, I mean, he was so much more than a footballer for Crystal Palace. But if we're going to go down to brass tacks, don't get me wrong, he's a good footballer, but he's not a great footballer.
Mate, it doesn't matter what you say because Mille's in.
I know, but this is obviously my thing. I think Jimmy Mack's been very underrated by what he does, but I just don't think we need that box to box because we'd have Lombardo. When we talk about the other players, we're going to get in there. Lombardo will kind of do the forward stuff. You got Johan Gabay kind of patrolling that back, that last bit. So I'm going to just to be different. I'm going to say Luka, but yeah, I mean, it was literally a toss of a coin between Luka and Jedi. I'm just saying Luka because if we go down the brass tacks, he's just a better footballer than Jedi is. Simple.
It's a tough call.
So on that, do we lock in? Obviously, everyone's gone with Kabay, everyone's gone with Jednak. So that's easy. I think Lombardi is going to make the team, but do we just lock in two midfielders for now and then see? Because everyone has also mentioned Jimmy Mack. Do we throw Lombardo into that forward conversation and see if there's someone in that forward conversation that we want more than Jimmy Mack and then decide whether
Lombardo was a midfielder. He played midfield for Lazio and Italy. I get it. It's Palace. He can play
attacking midfielder.
But
yeah,
there are people on that forwards list who are. Yeah. He is nowhere better a forward than them.
That's it. And he had, I don't care. I mean, if you ask any Crystal Palace fan ever, if they don't put Lombardo in their team then as best players, they have no clue.
The question isn't about whether or not we put Lombardo in. The question is about where we put him to try and accommodate other players. Lombardo will be in the team.
I'd say that midfield is a good spot for him as an attacking midfielder, because if we've got so obviously the two defensive midfielders are Kabay and Jedinek, who didn't get over the halfway line much for us, especially not Jedi. Lombardo does the rest of it. That's where I'd have him. I think that would be the best position for him, especially when we go to strikers here. We've got two spaces left because Wilf's won. We've got two strikers to pick, or two forwards to pick from. Chris Armstrong, Clinton O'Morrison. We'll say this name quickly and move quite on. Doogie Friedman, AJ, Glenn Murray, Dwight Gayle, Christian Benteke, the Ghanaian Prince, Alexander Sorloth, and disgustingly, you left off Yala Balassi. Disgusting!
If I left off Yannick Balassi, he's on my paper list.
He's not in here.
I'll tell you something, we did miss out. I think he's played in the Premier League for us. I'm not sure. Someone remind me. James Harlan will be screaming at me if I get this wrong. Matt Janssen?
I don't know if he played for us in the Premier League.
I can't remember. I can't remember if he did or didn't.
No, I think he did because we played into... No, I don't think he did.
Okay. I think he did.
Maybe he did. Also, obviously, we've got to throw in there. Andros Townsend's in there from the midfield a lot, as is John Salako as well.
All right, they're both in, they're both out. Thanks for coming.
Yes, yeah, so obviously, they do the Grandpa Simpson in they go and out they go.
So, I am taking AJ. There's one choice. And my other choice, which is... Oh God, this is very difficult. Oh, I can't believe I'm about to say this. It's going to be Christian Benteke. I can't believe I've done it.
I don't know where to start with that.
I think
Finnegan and you laughed at us.
I'll tell you why. If we go down that list, you find me anyone on that list who has scored 17 goals in a Premier League season for Crystal Palace. And there's two people on that list, I reckon. And again, James Haaland will be screaming at me going, you're wrong, it's more.
Armstrong have 15.
Oh, Armstrong got 15. There you go. And one of them is Christian Benteke, and one of them is Andy Johnson. You know, I was tossing up Glenn Murray because I was a doubter. He came back from the injury. He was very good. But if we're actually going to go on someone's footballing ability, he's had an absolute shocker for two seasons. I don't know why it's happened to him. It's happened. But Benteke is actually a bloody good footballer. He is, and we'll get onto the manager in a minute. But if you go back to that season under Big Sam, the guy was deadly. The guy was different class. So that's my two, alongside Wilf.
Go, Mark.
We've got aforementioned Wilf up top. So I've changed mine a few times. Unfortunately, we're only including Premier League players. So Shefty Kuki is out. For me, still have his shirt. Didn't put him up on my wall though. Have to do a couple of honourable mentions. Sirlot, outstanding hair. If I'm going on the hair theme, and he's got it in spades.
That jaw.
And let's face it, what's there not to love?
Goal scoring ability.
Well, that aside, clearly you don't need to score goals and be up top if you have a look at Dale's sheet. But anyway, moving on.
That's our fifth top scorer of all time.
He's got a bit of stick, Carl Sell. He's only gone to Turkey and scored 20-something goals so far this season, hasn't he? Just to silence the doubters. So, Mensch for him. I've got a lot of names and then I'll cross them out. You know, I had Andros up there. I'd like to think maybe Sulaco, but before my time, but I know he's obviously very handy, gets lots of mentions from his exploit back in the day. But nailing it down, I'm leaving Sulaco in and I'm having AJ as well.
Very good. Like it. Go on, old Statico. Let's go. See if we get to hear a word you're saying. This is literally what we've been hearing.
Fuck, it's unreal.
Just on Dale's point, you are talking about our fifth highest Premier League scorer of all time, Christian Benteke. However, I think on the squad balance, if we're playing a 4-3-3, you can only play central striker. I'll give that spot to AJ. If Wilf's on the other side, Benteke would be your next choice if you're building a balanced squad for mine. If we're talking purely on ability, if you're throwing the Mamadou Sakho line, then Benteke is exactly the same boat. They have both been good for Palace for the exact same amount of time and been shite for Palace for the exact same amount of time. So I think you've got to, you know, if you haven't won, the other one's in the conversation. But as I say, we've only got one central striker. AJ's got the spot. And just for sheer entertainment value, because it was so enjoyable watching Zaha on one side and Yannick Bolasie on the other side. Yannick Bolasie is going to get my spot. He's the only player to score a Premier League cup. It's just excitement value. If I'm watching Palace's best ever Premier League 11, I want to see Lombardo. If Lombardo's in that, I want to see him playing balls through for Yala and Wilf to turn players inside out, and AJ just to stand on the edge of the box and just tap them in.
I think we said it last pod when we talked about the Istanbul game. Prime Yala was something else. It was great to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Right, at least, guys, I'm going to be honest now. I honestly have changed my mind. I mean, I've changed my mind since I said I changed my mind. I agree. So it could be. If I put Sulaco wide, I think Sulaco one side and Benteke in the middle, and that's Benteke is going to score 75 goals a season, because all Sulaco would do is get down the ball, whip the ball in, and he'd put it on his head every single time. I think it'd be incredible. But then that means we don't have AJ in there. And I just certainly take your point, Ned, about put like as a footballer, Christian Benteke is a fantastic footballer. Just hasn't done it really for Palace, and Dale, and certainly take your point as well. 17 goals in that season, he was unplayable at times there. But then also unplayable at times, Chris Armstrong. I mean, you don't see people talk about him much. On his day, he had everything. He had pace, he had power, he could finish. Again, I mean, if he didn't smoke so much weed, he'd have been right up there. I mean, I'm pretty sure he got an England B cap, and he got an England B cap when the strikers of England were Shearer and Sheringham, and then Heskey came through and Collymore were around. So he was around in a very, like Matt Letizier. Matt Letizier didn't get an England cap, for example. So Armstrong was around there, and so for me, I'm going to go with this. So I'm going to
come on, Rob.
Again. All right, so Wilf's on one side, AJ is on the other side, and Chris Armstrong is down the middle.
Sure, right. Hot the guts.
So
happy with that.
Just to confirm, then we've got AJ and Wilf. And then we have one vote each for Christian Benteke, John Sulaco, Yannick Bolasie, and Chris Armstrong.
I'm happy to give Chris Armstrong my vote.
No, I mean,
yeah. I'll go with Armstrong.
More Premier League goals than AJ. I think he's got the second most Premier League goals still of any Palace player.
He was, I mean, he was on his day, he was, if you could be bothered, he couldn't be stopped. Just fantastic footballer. Fantastic footballer. Again, he's another one in the Lombardo category. You put him in our team now and he'd be fantastic. Easy, Armstrong.
Yep, go with it, Armstrong. Alrighty, so last position then, Rob. What have we got?
So the final one is managers. And so we've got Sir Steve, Lot Roy, Sam Allardyce, Tony Pulis, and Purvi Pardew.
Can we chuck in Keith Miller? Keith Miller's he's probably got as many Premier League matches as a manager under his belt as anyone else.
We always have to have the one person that gets thrown in that does the Simpsons gif in, so that's Keith Miller. This one. So I'm gonna start this one off, and it's Sir Steve Coppell.
You got us relegated twice.
Steve Coppell, look at, I understand where you're coming from, but if you look at the squads that each of these guys have had, Steve Coppell's squad has been absolutely nowhere near the squad that the other three, apart from Tony Pulis.
He did finish third in the league, mate.
Look at the squad he had, though. I mean, he had Wright and Sulaco and Grove, but I mean, it wasn't the type of talented squad that they had. What we were workers. I mean, Pardew was probably playing in that
you had a squad.
Andy Thorne.
So I just want to say, this may have been the manager, it may have been the players, but you had a squad who got to an FA Cup final and then finished third in the league. So he may well have had the players. It may not have been the manager, it may have also been the players.
But also, I think, what happened when he left that serving?
Well, we already got relegated. We were already relegated when he left. If you look at someone,
I'm saying Steve Coppell. I think
fair enough. That's fine. It's your choice. I'm not necessarily going with Tony Pulis, but if you think about what Tony Pulis did with the likes of Tom Ince in his squad, for example, you know, brilliant. He had is it Yaya Sanogo up front or something like that?
That was Pardew.
Or he had some random black guy up front. It was terrible.
You said that.
Yeah, they all said that. The black
Cameron line. Jerome, Cameron Jerome.
Yeah, and so look, my manager, if you let me have Christian Benteke, my manager would have been Big Sam. However, I think I'm going to can only go with Roy Hodgson.
Something has literally just died inside. A little piece of me has just died. I'm delighted I put Mamadou Sakho in there. Delighted. In fact, I want 11 Mamadou Sakhos.
Well, Roy would drop him. Roy would drop him, so it's fine.
Is that bollocks? All right, go on, Ned.
Well, it's obviously Roy Hodgson. I mean, you're talking about the bloke who has, you know, taken our team to their highest ever Premier League position, and then took us to our highest ever Premier League position again the following season. We scored the most goals in a season under Roy Hodgson. Steve Coppell did some great stuff, but most of it was sort of not in Premier League in the era. It was either getting us to the Premier League or it was, you know, before that. You're talking about the best Premier League manager of all time for Crystal Palace. It's the guy who's gotten them to the highest spot multiple times. It has to be Roy Hodgson. No other choice.
I'm not listening anymore. Shut up.
I will trade you Roy Hodgson if we can take Mamadou Sakho out of the team.
Absolutely not. No way.
Well,
no.
Hodgson it is then.
go on, Mark.
It's a tough one. In jokes aside, and who'd be having a laugh at what, it's down to Coppell or Hodgson for me. Now, look, if it's someone that's going to produce the brand of football that I want to watch, Steve Coppell.
I'm talking the best, Mark.
If I want to stay in the Premier League, Roy Hodgson.
I can see why people pick Hodgson. Personally, out of all of them, I think, if you put me on the spot, the person that worked the biggest miracle was probably Tony Pulis, how he kept that team up.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would have been sustainable at all, personally, but that's just me. As much as I don't like it, I certainly see why you'd go Hodgson, and as much as it pains me, I'm happy to concede defeat, although I want it to be firmly known. I rigorously went for Steve Coppell, not Roy Hodgson.
On the bench, mate.
Yeah, he's on the bench with Jules. Assistant manager, okay.
All right, so we're
Alan
going
Alan Smith is assistant. Alan Smith or Keith Millen.
So we're going with Roy Hodgson.
Roy Hodgson. So Dale, read us out our team. Palace. This is the best team.
Okay. So in goal, Nigel Martin. Our four at the back, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Dean Gordon, Gary Cahill. In midfield.
Sorry, what? Who else?
Oh, yeah.
And you missed that.
Amadou Sakho.
Oh,
hey!
What a player.
That name again.
What a player.
Sakho.
Run me by that back four again, just one more time.
Our centre midfield, because we're playing three in the midfield, Johan Kabay, Attilio Lombardo, and Mille Yednak.
Being fed by Mama Sakho from the back, superb. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Lots of through balls.
Over his feet and broken his leg by this stage.
Yeah, our three up front, Andy Johnson, Chris Armstrong, and Wilfred Zaha. Managed by Roy Hodgson.
There we go. That's
a not a bad team,
though.
That's a
it's
bad
not a bad team.
I'm tuning
in. I reckon we would go down with a Sakho own goal.
go down.
On the last day.
I reckon that's top four. Just give the ball to Lombardo or Wilf, and then Chris Armstrong and Andy Johnson will bang him in. I just think that's too much. There's so much attacking talent in that team. That's unbelievable.
So much attacking talent, and we're leaving Sakho at the back in case we get done on the counter. Brilliant.
Don't worry about it. He'll just read the whole game, and you've got Kabay and Dylan like there to sweep it up anyway. It's all good. Mate. Give a shit.
That attacking quality, the ball will barely be down the back.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Brazil, we go Brazil style. You score four, we'll score five.
Exactly. Yeah, I got to score one more.
Who's our substitute centre back for when Mamadou Sakho gets injured in the 23rd minute?
Jules.
Jeff Schlupp.
At the back.
He's got to be on the
back.
Bakary Sakho.
He'll be injured too.
All right, his left boot. When he's on, you're not stopping that. Quality squad, most of which I'm across, but a few I'm not. But that was exciting to know. And then just quickly, boys, obviously we're picking Premier League. Did White and Bright not make it to Premier League?
Mark Bright left halfway through a season and went to Sheffield Wednesday. And
I think White went Arsenal after the FA Cup. A couple of years after.
A couple of years after. So
we went down.
Yeah.
So we went down from Division 1. No. Was he there for the Oldham? No, he wasn't there for Oldham. So if Division 1, then it became the Premier League, and right in the first season of the Premier League at Arsenal.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise,
I just thought they were still knocking around in 92, 93. But,
if Wright was there, he'd be another shoo-in. Or it'd just be, it'd be make it fucking be hard if he was there too. Jesus.
Sorry, Ryan. No, I assume that. I just wasn't sure.
We'll play 1-1-8, Sakho out.
That's it. Mamadou Sakho would be the one, though. Right, fellas, look, we've been going off radio, so we'll probably save the quiz till next time, then, I reckon. What do you say?
Yeah.
I agree.
Keep your powder dry.
Yeah, that's it. So, look, we'll save the quiz till next time. I've really enjoyed it. That was a bit of fun. And actually, I found it a lot harder than I thought I would. To be honest, we've had some decent players down the years. Really enjoyed that again. Going out to anyone listening, hope you enjoyed that. Hopefully the lockdown restrictions are being lifted where you are, be able to get to see someone hopefully pretty soon. But the Facebook chat's always open. If you disagree with our team, which I'm sure most of you will, apart from Mamadou Sakho, which I'm sure is shooting for everyone. If you do disagree with anyone else, please comment. Give us your team. Tell us who you think. If we missed anyone out, let us know. We want to hear from you from there. And look, we'll probably, if we reconvene another 2 or 3 weeks, I'm sure we'll all still be having not much else to do on an evening, and then we can do Ned's Wonder Quiz then, and anything else that we've thought of in the interim. But it leaves me to say thank you very much, gentlemen. Apart from Ned, your phone has been atrocious the whole time. So next time, do something else. Yeah, just do something. I don't know what, but just do something else.
Yeah, man. Phone it in or fucking something.
Yeah, man.
That's it. So, Dale, thank you. Mark, thank you. Ned, you're talking, but we can't hear a word. We're just here static.
Thank you, Rob.
Boys.
Thank you, boys.
Stay safe. Everyone stay safe. Stay well. Ready? So we're going to get going. 3, 2, 1. Hello. Welcome to XLD. Oh.
You're not happening. I know, we're on Zoom.